Welcome to the broadcast. Today I'm joined by Guided PPC founder and CEO Santosh Kumar. The startup is roughly 2 years old and is already making waves in the PPC community. However, that's not where Santosh's story began. It begins with names such as Qasim Aslam, John Moran, Ralph Burns, working in pay-per-click powerhouses such as Tier 11 and Soul 8. He is now the head of strategy for LDX Digital and all things Guided PPC. Today, we're here to talk about the ups and downs of the PPC industry, and most importantly, its future. Please join me in welcoming Santosh Kumar. How are you today, sir?
Oof, that's the best introduction I've ever got. Thank you so much.
It's well earned. And you know, what's funny is, and for our listeners, I think you know this, but I've actually secretly been following you actually on, and that sounds strange, but on LinkedIn, because I was just so impressed with your, you actually, I think you're the number one voice for search engine marketing on LinkedIn, right? Am I correct? It says it on your profile, correct?
That's news to me. I didn't know that.
Oh my God. Okay. So I may have to screenshot that. I'll put that in here too, but it's a flag that says that you're like a top voice. I haven't seen anybody have that flag. I did follow your journey when you were doing vlogs for Soul 8. You're doing exactly what you're doing for Guided PPC and your vlogs there. You're doing it back for Soul 8, right? What I saw was some great insight. I saw your team. I don't know if you were before or after Tier 11 there, but I was very impressed. And so when I saw that you created your own Guided PPC, I was really like, just like, wow, this guy's gonna, he's awesome. So I kind of felt we could start from the beginning. You know, what was your journey like? Like, how did you get into the industry? How did you, because I saw you were somewhere else before all this began. So how did you land there? How did you land at these great places?
Oh my God, that's a long story. People are going to get bored.
It is.
But yeah, I come from the dial-up era when internet was like, you know, your famous stones. So out of curiosity, I started searching on internet and I found Alta Vista, if anybody remembers Yahoo and
Excite,
kind of stuff, search engines. Then I stumbled upon Google and things changed since then. So on and off, I've had several opportunities to work with amazing companies and later on agencies. And somewhere during the COVID, I was headhunted by Qasim Aslam for Solutions 8. And it was an interesting move because you know, they were at that point, they were at an inflection point, actually. They were trying to build an in-house team. And right after I joined, we got the notice from the agency partner saying that you guys have 30 days to build your team and take 100 odd accounts back in-house. Wow. So I was like, okay, challenge accepted. So
that's crazy.
I was with Solutions 8 for a year and a half, I guess, and then moved on to Tier 11. And then, you know, the universe sort of forced me to start my own agency, and I said, okay, it's time.
That's an amazing story. Same with me. I was at a great place that I loved, and it was called Opram, and I loved that place. It was really where I had almost like my my second act in my career, and it unfortunately went you know, under, and everybody got let go. And but that, you know, I knew then, I was like, if not now, when? And why not me? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Why
exactly.
Not me? You know what I mean? And I saw that in you when you, it was weird because I saw when you did that and I was like, and I saw CEO, founder and all that stuff. And I was like, man, that's awesome. So my applause to you, sir. I really, that's why I felt we'd been at the same time. You have no idea what I'm talking about. I saw it coincidentally at the same time. So, you know, so after that, you developed Guided PPC. How is that journey? What's going on there? What great, exciting stuff are you doing there?
So Guided PPC has two sides of it. There is one side, and that's how it started. And that's why it's named Guided PPC, is because when I was hiring folks at Solutions 8 for, you know, we had a pretty large account base and we needed people to work and manage those accounts. And I wasn't finding good people. They knew everything and they knew Google Ads, which didn't cut out for us because we were doing just Google Ads. And our challenge was that we needed people who were really, truly, deeply, madly in love with Google Ads. And I wasn't finding that. So I said, hey, I have to hire these candidates and train them in-house, which takes away a lot of time from my plate. Why don't I do something and teach them? So I picked up, like, you know, I messaged 30, 40 odd folks who I did not hire because they were generalists, and said that, guys, do you want to learn Google Ads and maybe stand a chance to come work at SolutionSate? And I think 20, 25 of them agreed, and they started learning with me, and I taught the first batch of Google Ads course for 14 days. And since then, you know, things been, you know, kind of, it was kind of on the side for me that, okay, I was trying to help the community, trying to help people to level up, you know, see the light and help themselves, help us in return. And then when I moved on from tier 11, I started taking on clients as well. So today we have courses, and we did coaching programs as well. We have the recordings available. So we have a fair bit of content in terms of courses and coaching program recordings for anybody who wants to become a specialist, can go through our 2 courses and 4 coaching call recording batches, which are like 60, 70 odd case studies that I have discussed. And anybody who goes through that can come to all the way 90% of where I am today. So that's one part of guided PPC where people can learn Google Ads who are really, really passionate about it. And then we have the other side where we work directly with clients. We help manage, you know, manage their campaigns, give them, deliver traffic, conversions, sales, ROAS, CAC, MER, you know, whatever they is the context for them. We help them scale through Google Ads. We also do white label PPC. So we work with other agencies who need, you know, expertise in Google Ads. And that may not necessarily be their cup of tea. So they say that, okay, you know, why don't you guys manage this for us, being white level agency partners? And we do that. So we work with 4 agencies right now. We manage their accounts and they just go client facing. Behind the scenes, we do all the heavy lifting for them. So yeah, so the agency part and the academy part, that's how Guided PPC is set up right now.
One thing that really stuck out when I, you know, I've been looking at your LinkedIn whenever you have some great content that you share, is you have this program where, and I think you may have touched on it just now, please correct me if I'm wrong, it's where, say if you want to learn Google Ads, right? You it's almost like a year-long program. Is that my wrong or am I right? Or do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I've done it for a couple of years, but it's not a year-long program. It's like, you know, somebody could finish this in a month or two max, right? If they take it slow, they can finish that in a couple of months. So we have first course, which is 14 hours, second course, which is like 25 hours, and coaching program recordings, which are basically case studies. So we have 4 different courses on that. And each course has like 20 case studies. So each case study is like an hour. So 20 into 4, 80 case studies. So 80 hours of case studies and about, 40 hours of courses. So 120 hours somebody invests becomes 90% of what I am today.
Talking about some of the, not frustrations, but some of the signals we've been seeing from the PPC industry, right? And let's start with the business owners. What should a business owner look for in a PPC buy?
So a business owner, so there are largely 2 different platforms for advertising, right? So if you are, for example, an e-commerce business and you want to run performance marketing campaigns, ads for yourself, you have basically Meta Ads and Google Ads. Those are the 2 primary platforms. I mean, there is TikTok and stuff, but primarily there is Meta and Google Ads. So in my experience, I think one should not hire one agency for both, because when that happens, there is either Meta Ads expertise or Google Ads expertise. I haven't come across even one example where there is an agency which does both equally. Google Ads really, really well, because that's the only thing we did. At tier 11, they did Meta Ads really well. That's what they were known for. And they were trying to adapt to Google Ads. And that's where they hired me, thinking that I could come from SolutionSate, bring the expertise to the team and help them come close to where SolutionSate was. And I think that was not a bad thinking. But I'm saying that as a client, definitely do not go for an agency that does everything. Maybe, you know, segment and hire an agency for creative stuff, an agency for Meta and Google separately. And I think that way, you could get the best out of each of these platforms, amazing platforms. Like, you know, I'm not saying that Google or Meta is better. One is the better than the other. I'm saying that both have their own distinct advantages and disadvantages. And only the agency that specializes into that, which has done it hands-on day in, day out, could deliver the most value out of that.
We get a new client, and I could literally tell when a client hired somebody that was more of a Google expert versus a Meta expert. So I'll go in there and I'll be like, wow, this Google buy is like nice. And then the Meta buy is just link clicks all day long, you know, and we actually had that situation recently. So I completely understand your viewpoint. That's very good insight. We talk about expertise. How has servicing changed over the years, in your opinion? So, you know, you've been in, this is about a 2-year journey for you with Guided PPC. And like I said, you know, you've been at these other places. In your mind, when you first say we're under the Solate umbrella, and then you went, now you're running your own shop, what do you feel has changed?
So I think largely not a lot has changed for the clients, because they still have to business, they still have to get customers, they still have to get their sales register, you know, flowing in. So I guess not a lot has changed for the clients. On the agency side, there is a big shuffle happening because there is ChatGPT and there is a lot of how people approached managing performance ads for their clients. That is going through a big shakeup. Platforms are also adapting slowly and steadily. So, you know, you have Google Ads launching Performance Max. Then 2 years later, you have Bing Ads trying to copy that and launch Performance Max. So you see and then Google Ads is heavily going towards trying to, you know, use AI, embed AI in their platform. I don't know how the search will take shape, but it's a very uncertain kind of atmosphere around, and it's in a good way. You know, there was a report the other day that, you know, search advertising revenue is shrinking. You know, it's not increasing, you know, year over year, it's not increasing, like, you know, and it's sinking, and that's not a good sign, right? So I'm saying that there is a bit of uncertainty, but I think agencies would still be relevant, in my opinion, and there still will be great use cases for agencies, and, you know, clients would still be better off using agencies, because no matter how smart and capable and resourceful the platform themselves become, mean more about themselves than the clients, the advertisers. That's where agencies come in. That agency's role is to make the platform work best in your interest, right? So I would say massive, you know, unsettlement happening, but this is exciting time, more than ever.
I think you're absolutely right. It's exciting for people who know what they're doing, right?
Exactly.
I think if you know what you're doing, it's great. If you're just learning PPC, it probably looks like controlled chaos. You know, I would say when I first started, right? And when I'm going back when I was learning PPC. And I would say you probably had to have maybe like a low to mid understanding of the platforms, right? Now I think it's like to really be a force of change and to scale a client, your skills need to be up here. Now, of course, the clients and the reps say, oh yeah, just client here, you know, just our Meta Pro rep or our Google Ad rep will call you and do auto recommendations and you're good to go, you know. But I work with those clients, and I've worked with clients who have done that, right?
Right.
And or they worked with somebody that was, you know, so skills. And we actually have another client where that's going on right now. And, you know, they're dropping literally, I'd say about 50 to 75K a month in ads, and they're just getting a couple of conversions, right? And it's because, you know, there's a lot of people who really, I don't know what the word is, but they're maybe lowest bidder. Could be that, you know, that they want to Upwork sorted by price, and then, you know, oh yeah, I know ads, and how hard can it be? And you know, the client went with them, or better yet, the client took a stab at it, right? And now it's like tanking. They're out 100,000, or they spent 100,000 on some other freelancer and they didn't, were so. And then they're calling people like you, people like me, who say, you know, I need help. And you know what? I don't need it yesterday. I need it like today, or I lose my business. Those are scary. Those are those are probably the most saddest and scariest calls. But like you said, it's the fact we're getting those is a blessing, right? Unfortunately, I've been hearing, seeing and getting those a lot more. And one thing I've seen is a lot of clients, I'm on Upwork. I think you may have been on Upwork too for a time. I don't know.
I am. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So, and I think most of, I definitely say a lot of this audience is, so they're on Upwork. And the thing I get is these clients that call me and they say, can you just look at my screen here during this call and just tell me what's wrong? How's my cost per click? How's my cost per conversion? Like, what would you do here? And I go, no, like my guy, like, this is surgery. Like, this is surgery. First exactly. of all, you don't tell a surgeon to hurry up, right? When somebody's doing surgery on your body, you never say, oh, can you just hurry up? You know, and you know, I have to, you know, that's just not how this goes. But that's been my philosophy is, you know, if you want me just to look at your x-rays and tell you, okay, you have this type of condition or this kind of a hemorrhage, and you know, you can just fix it by A, B, and C. I would never, if I went to a plumber and they told me that, I would laugh. You know, I'd be like, you know, I don't want you coming here twice or three times. I want you to fix this, right? Yeah. And I want you to do a good diagnosis. But unfortunately, there's I've seen that with some clients where they where that happens. And I'll talk to them and I give them maybe some a little bit of hints. But I've noticed when they go away, they say they usually come, sometimes they come back and they're like, you know, I asked some other people, you definitely had a good line of what you were talking about. You know, you did point me in the right direction. Can you look deeper? And then I'll be like, okay, let's talk retainer. I don't, to be honest, I'm almost at the point where I don't even do audits. Like what I'll do is I'll just say, you know what? Here are my case studies. Here's my channel. Here's my podcast. Here's my Medium articles. You know, when you want to talk about a month retainer or 2 months or 3 months retainer, let's talk about it. But I'm not going to do an audit for $100, right? Even though I do have team members that actually do it, but only when it's in, I try and do that in controlled situations. That kind of leads me to another question, clients who have been burned. And you and I think you and I both agree, I've been hearing this a lot more. Or I've been hearing clients frustrated at the industry, literally like, at the point where they walk away, right? What is causing that, right? I could say it's people who are posing as experts when they're not, but why is there just all of a sudden this year, have you seen this? What is your opinion on this? What's your take?
So I guess, Yusuf, first of all, nailed it on the head. And the fact is that a lot of these clients who are dealing with, who have burnt their hands with freelancers, if you dig deeper, you will see that. I was actually checking Fiverr the other day and I saw that I was looking at the most successful Google Ads experts on Fiverr. And all of them, a lot of them have said that they are the ex-Google employees. That's a solid validation. That somebody who has worked with Google before supposed to be an expert, right? And therefore they would trust them with their money. And that person who has never touched a Google Ads account driving ROI, revenue, profitability in his entire tenure at Google, because his or her job was to sell Google Ads to clients and make them spend more. That person, when he or she is trying to help a client and making all those big promises, obviously there is going to be massive gap in delivery. Because if we have spent years working for clients in agency world, we understand how to get the best out of Google Ads or any other platform rather than somebody who has just sold that for their living and now is trying to figure out how to get the profitability. So I guess a lot of these cases are because there is lack of understanding on the part of clients. And I think unless they burn their hands once or twice or thrice in their life, they will not understand who to trust and who not to trust. Right. So, but such is the atmosphere. Like, you know, you can't help it.
Yeah.
Like you can't, there are so many ex-Google reps pretending to be experts that you just can't help it. But at the same time, I'm not saying that all of them are bad. I'm saying that not all of them are bad, but not all of them are the experts they are claiming to be. Yeah. And therefore, the clients, they need to understand that, hey, who is going to get the best value for my money in terms of advertising effectiveness. Is it the person who claims to be to have worked with Google, or is it the person who has been working for clients all his or her life? And I think once and besides the clients who will, you know, burn their hands once or twice, they would start to understand. And I think those are the clients that are best to work with, that they have seen the worst and they can appreciate the good and best now, right? Versus those who are in a hurry, I would just let them go. That if you're in a hurry, please go try out the cheap stuff. And once you have tried everything, come for the good stuff.
We see that client that close. When it gets that close to you, you know, and you have to, and it's like a kid in a candy store, like you're reaching for it and you're like, I'm going to get this client. And let's be honest, there's a lot of agencies out there. There's a lot of freelancers, you know, so you're just about to get it. And you're exactly right. I think you're exactly right, Santosh. In a way, you have to let it go, because if you force that and you don't deliver, you know, then it just goes down this path. You know, I think it's exactly what you just said. I think it's, and that's the way I've been practicing too, is especially with my team, there have been times we made the call and I'm like, let it go. Just let it go. I just don't feel comfortable. And then lo and behold, now I'm not saying all of them. Yeah. It's a small percentage. I'm not saying it's even 50%. It's probably like 10% or even 5%. But some of them do come back and like, you know what? You're right. This is not a game. This is not changing a tire. This is friggin' surgery. You know, and most of all, I always say this to people. This is your business. Do you want me to say I could just switch this as fast as a day? Or do you want me to like really look at what's going on and what's going on under the hood and making that diagnosis and experimenting and all that stuff? Well, I think we kind of talked about like some of the R side, right? The PPC side, right? No, you just need to spend more money to collect data. That's another one, right? Let's kind of talk more. Let's talk about the clients, right? So like a great client signed on to you and they says, like, Santosh, we deal a lot in fashion, right? So Santosh, I have these summer, summer and winter outfits. How can I approach you and say, as a client and say, what do you need to be successful? What do I need to be successful? What do I need to hook up to make sure, what can I do on my side to make sure that you are, you can give me that great ROAS or that scale my business?
That's a great question, Yusuf. And I think if that question is asked by agencies and freelancers to the clients and clients are prepared to answer that question, I think a lot of these frictions that happen during the process would not happen. And I'm saying this from experience, because I remember, like, you know, back at SolutionSet, we did onboardings and we also did offboardings. Of course, people didn't like, some of them didn't like working with us and they canceled. So I was the head of the specialist department. Leandra was the head of the client manager department. And the sales guy and the actual media buyer, the specialist who worked on the account would show up, and the client manager. So all of these people would show up and we will try to do the postmortem that, hey, what went wrong? What could we have done better? And in a lot of those cases, and I'm talking about having been on 50 odd meetings, and after that, my analysis, I tried to connect the dots, and a lot of the time the dots connected back to the onboarding. We weren't sure whether we can help this client or not. And we took the client on board, even if we knew that their website was not ready, or that their checkout process was not functional, or that they couldn't run upsells, cross-sells during checkouts or before or after. So or in like some cases, they were like, there was a client which had 300,000 product on their website, and that person had $3,000 per month budget for advertising. Imagine the mix, like, you know, 300,000 products and $3,000 for the ad budget. So I'm saying that we didn't do the due diligence, and we learned from these cases that we need to take on clients where we see that we can actually make a difference. And how we see that is if the client has proof of concept, at least. If the client has a product market fit, that there is a market for their product or service. If there is no market and they haven't got any orders from any other source of traffic, be it organic, social, whatever, if they're like starting from absolute zero and we don't believe in their product or service, then we should not absolutely not touch it. The most ideal scenario will be that, hey, they're already doing 10, 20, 30,000, 100,000. Ideally, like 100,000 a month, if they're doing in sales, we can take them to 1 million a month without breaking a sweat. But if they're doing zero and they have really hard time calculating their profit margins, really hard time understanding what products could work, what products would not work, and whether they can get the creatives, get the videos and stuff, those kind of things ready. Yeah. These guys didn't do their job. That's not the truth. The truth is that they were not prepared to run ads on their website. They were not prepared to invest in advertising. They just thought that they could jump cut all the steps and jump to advertising and start seeing cash coming in. So now at Guided PPC, we onboard a client only when we understand their business and products. Like we have a client in UK selling bamboo toilet paper. The difference between the number one and the number three is a massive difference. And we know that if we do everything right, we use our skills, experience, expertise, we can take them, if not number one, close to number one, number two, and we can make a difference. And that's very quite fulfilling to have achieved that. But there was a client, struggling with their website. I don't want to name them, but if they're watching, they would understand. They chose to not go with Shopify. What can we do? Like, we're not getting the data. Like, we are sending 10,000 visitors from Google Ads and analytics is regarding. And Magento is not the platform. We understand we are not web developers, so we really can't help them. You know, we literally told them, guys, why are you not doing Shopify? You're not big enough to deal with a platform like Magento. Why don't you? But, you know, sometimes you break some rules, but you end up paying for it. So I would say, from the client's perspective, please don't, if you're a client, don't invest in advertising. Don't even think about investing in advertising unless you've got the website and the product market fit right, because that's not going to work out for you. And as an agency, I would not touch your business unless I know that I can make a difference.
Especially because, either Fiverr or Upwork, we get a lot of clients that are saying, like, just randomly come up and they say, I just bought this business on Flippa or whatever, one of these bidding, sell your business kind of sites.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, I'm trying to turn it over. I'm willing to invest 10, 15,000 bucks into 2 months of advertising. What can you do? Right. And I'm like, really, this isn't McDonald's, unfortunately, it's, you can't just walk in and say, oh, I want to get the highest ROAS possible. How much will that, that's not how it works, my friend, and that's, I think this is what I've been encountering sometimes are, maybe some clients say, maybe they came from, like you said, right. Like a while ago where back then you had to have like, not be as knowledgeable. Now I feel like, you have to know about enhanced conversions. You have to know about CAPI. You have to get those Shopify logins. I can't tell you how many times I say, I need that Shopify login to look at the marketing and campaigns to make sure that the pipes are connecting and the conversions here are the conversions there and everything's working. To say Google works in an isolated vacuum is ridiculous. I need to know what's kind of going on. And I think that's probably where I see a lot of, the future going, right, is being almost like not a consultant, but working in all these platforms to make sure everything's connecting. Conversion transparency or conversion hookups is like a huge part of our business now, making sure that, the conversions are tracking correctly and making sure that the numbers we're coming up with in terms of sales on the conversion value on Google Ads is the same darn number that's coming up on Shopify, and that it's everything's matching. But you're right. A lot of times clients don't want to use Shopify, or they kind of, and I'm like, whenever I get a client that says, oh, okay, I have it hooked up through Stripe. I'm like, well, okay. and I go 9 times out of 10, the data variable, when you hook it up, doesn't pass back to Google Tag Manager, or it doesn't pass back to Google Ads and they have to go to the web developer. Now that's time that has to sit to make sure those pipes are connecting, right?
Yes.
Because I can't do a conversion. I can't do a TROAS campaign if there's no conversion value passing back, right? So, and then the client's like, well, did you start the ads yet? I'm like, No, conversion tracking's not hooked up correctly. Like that's another week and a half, another week, because now we have to, you know, your web dev has to go to YouTube and figure out what the problem is, you know, and go to YouTube University and ask the college professor over there, right? So it's, you know, that's where I see a lot of the, but you know, a lot of these issues can be fixed through three things. Understanding how long the process is, right? This isn't McDonald's. We're fine dining, right? And when you have fine dining, you got to work with the best ingredients. You have to make sure it's, and I don't mean to say it like it's a poor versus rich thing. I really mean to say it from like a quality perspective, because it's your business. You know, you don't want somebody, that's just, oh yeah, you know, what do you want with this and that? And okay, here's your product. Like, no, or here's your ad campaign. No, you want somebody to take time to set those campaigns up. Make sure the conversion tracking is working. Make sure that your Google Analytics is tracking back to wherever, you know, with Google Ads or wherever it needs to go back, and make sure all the signals are firing to make sure that we're working okay. That takes time, you know? And then when you tie in stuff like another one thing is not understanding attribution windows, right? Yeah. That's something else I feel like no one understands. And I'm just, and I don't mean clients. I even mean buyers. Like they're like, oh yeah, we're trying to figure out. I'm like, look at the attribution window, right? So, you know, but again, it goes back to like a training thing and, you know, understanding how long stuff takes, you know, surgery. I always say this, surgery takes time, recovery from surgery takes time, right? So that's what we're doing for doctors. We really are.
Because you quoted the, you know, the media buyers not knowing their stuff. I want to quote a great example. We have a client, a big Spanish, you know, hair care brand. We have been managing their campaigns for over a year now. Really, like, you know, in his 50s, old guy, Google Ads, AdWords guy, not Google Ads guy, AdWords guy.
Oh my God, AdWords guy.
This AdWords genius comes and goes on to shake things up, like starts asking questions and starts insisting that, you know, you guys need to do K1, K2, K3 strategy on search, whereas we are doing shopping and PMAX. So he says, drive all of our ad budget towards search and do the keywords in K1, K2, K3. And he kept repeating that for weeks. And he kept insisting that our sales and ROAS was not up to the mark. And it was even not matching. And I got tired of it. And one fine day I asked him, what KPIs you are looking at? So he said, I'm looking at conversions, conversion value, and conversion value upon cost. I said, are you, and you're looking at 7 days data. I said, are you aware of conversions by time, conversion value by time, and ROAS by time? He says, what is that? I said, great. Let us teach you that. If you're looking at, have the 12 days conversion lag on your account and, you know, 90 days conversion window, attribution window, like you said, you can't be looking at conversions by click, which is the default metric, which means that if somebody made a click today, that person has 90 days to convert. And usually half of your sales comes in 12 days later. So if you look at last 7 days data with the default metric, you're not going to get the ideal number. So you got to look at conversions by time, conversion value by time, and ROAS by time. And by time numbers can give you the real picture. Yusuf, it's not funny. 9 out of 10 people we interview for our specialist role are not aware of this one important KPI. I would say 7 to 8 out of 10 accounts we audit, the clients are not aware. Sometimes even wouldn't blame our white level partners because they came to us for Google Ads expertise. I would not judge them on that metric, but I'm saying that a lot of agencies are out there who are not aware of these KPIs. Something as simple as dynamic remarketing, Yusuf. People are not aware about dynamic remarketing, that there is a thing. You ask them to differentiate shopping ads and performance max, name 5 differences, they can't. I'm saying there is a huge gap. And challenge on our end is to, how do we tell the clients that, look, we have figured this out because this is the only thing we do day in, day out. And these are the things that matter to you. But yeah, I think, we gotta keep trying, right?
I interrupted. No, please do. I couldn't agree more. Attribution windows, and then what's even crazy? So here's where it even gets even more frustrating, right? Yeah, stuff like iOS 14, you have stuff like iOS 17, you have stuff like the cold war between Google and Apple where UTMs break, right? Where Apple will not pass back a GLID ID number, right? And so, you know, the attribution window breaks. It just completely just won't work. So then you have conversions like that or conversions that happen. And then you have to tell the client, well, you're getting so much new acquisition customers. Chances are you have nothing else going on. You have no PR. I would probably say if just on my analysis is looking at all the signals, I'm saying this generically, that could be pay, right? If you have nothing else going on, but you're getting new customers, but I can't prove that because a connection's broken, right? No. Or say, you know, that's just happening. And that's where CAPI and that's where enhanced conversions come into play. But still, those are still not bulletproof, right? I mean, yeah, they should be, but, you know, it's still, you know, not at 100%. That's for sure. It's a little bit frustrating. Like clients just don't understand. They're like, well, the number in that ads manager or in this reporting says you're saying is 10, right? Yeah. But you're saying it should be like 20, right? And I'm not saying, you know, I'm just saying figuratively, but it's hard to have those conversations with some clients that just don't know that, you know, that don't know the problems that UTM is being, you know, deprecated, that we're going to go towards a cookieless world eventually. And, you know, it's server connections, you know, that kind of stuff is sometimes, and I don't blame, I want to make this clear. Like, I don't necessarily blame the clients. I blame us too. You know, I blame freelancers too for not understanding that, you know, I can't tell you how many times I audited something and, you know, I'll be like, okay, so you have the Stripe campaign or whatever, the Stripe connection, let's look at how, you know, if enhanced conversions are hooked up, no enhanced conversions hooked up, you know, on Google and no CAPI installed. And but that's why we get paid to make that fight and to have discussions like this, to make sure that clients and everybody is right after this conversation or Googling, hey, they mentioned CAPI enhanced conversions or they mentioned attribution window. I need to learn that. So the more we talk about it, the better is what I'm saying.
Yes, absolutely. And I have another example which happened recently. It's so interesting that, you know, it's every day you learn something new. So we were managing the Google ads and we were sending them traffic and they were happy. And they were not complaining. We were thinking that, hey, we are, you know, showing all these amazing reports. We are doing 7x ROAS for them. They must be super happy. And on our last week, we had a meeting. We have bi-weekly meetings with them. So on our last meeting, they say that, you know what? All of that is great. But when I look at Shopify and I look at this report under analytics section, which is called sales attributed to marketing, my top revenue source is organic and emails. I don't see CPC at all. And I just realized, oh my God, do we have UTMs set up for them? Like, this is a client we've been managing for a month now. Do we have UTMs tracking template set up for them in the campaigns? Turns out we didn't. And that's a simple overlook, right? We didn't break anything. It's just that we didn't set up one UTM parameter in the campaigns that could have filled their Shopify sales attributed to marketing report saying that Google Ads was actually doing a lot better. So now in the last 7 days, CPC is the top revenue source on that report. We let things slip through the cracks. But yeah, I think it's a constant, as long as you talk to the client, understand, if they're not sounding happy, try to probe and understand why, what are the things that probably is going through their head. I think that's super helpful. And I think unless we had probed, we wouldn't have noticed that they were actually looking at this report and thinking that, oh my God, this agency is complete BS because they're sending reports which doesn't align with the sales attributed to marketing report.
That's why I think as agencies or as contractors, it's so important to get those logins right for Shopify, because that's where you or me or whoever can problem solve those questions before the client sees it. Now, I'm not saying it's like a gotcha thing, but if you had access to Shopify and you were able to sort by the, you know, go in that marketing section or whatever campaigns and just say, okay, why isn't this working? You know, why is this not, why am I, like you said, why is paid not coming up? Well, It's because, you know, then you could diagnose that before the client. Now, I know clients sometimes are, some clients are very liberal with it. They're like, yeah, you know, here's a Shopify login, go with God, you know? And then there's some that are like, no, I don't want anybody seeing anything. And I'm like, hey, it's just the marketing. It's just my section. It's not, I'm not asking to look at all your sales for like, you know, the year. So, but it always pays to have that access. So no, and you are right. The, yeah, it's amazing how even UTMs, I don't see, you know, I've done that too. I get it, you know, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah. Well, my friend, I think we've had a good discussion. I wanted to just, you know, what are your last thoughts in terms of the industry and what you guys are doing again at Guided PPC, and, you know, what lays on the horizon for you guys in terms of the near future?
Well, we started with the sole mission that we wanted to help everyone around us become better media buyers and get better results from their Google Ads campaigns. And we are still sticking to our guns on that mission. And we are making slow progress, but the progress is steady. And we want to continue doing this for foreseeable time. So we are sticking to our guns.
That's awesome. No, please. You know, there's a saying among comedians. I forgot. It's a rule. I think Kasim Aslam talked about it too. The longer you're around, the longer you'll be around longer, right? And I really believe that, because I noticed my first year, like, you know, there was like nobody knew who we were, and you know, we're YRV, right? But I notice now we're starting our second, roughly the second year in a couple months mark. And I notice now, like, just words spreading around us. So, and that's something that I think we could probably talk in another conversation, is how do you market your agency, right? What are the best tactics to do that? Because I really feel like, you know, the first year is the hardest. And if you can weather that first year storm, then you could, you know, if you can weather 1 year, guess what? Chances, and that's the hardest year, right? You can probably make it through each successive year, but you have to have those resources and the belief in yourself to, that you're qualified to work on these pieces of business and go above and beyond imposter syndrome. And that's why I love what you guys are doing at Guided PPC. All this training, all this way to instill self-confidence into the buyers, and also standards and practices, right? The best practices for buying, not auto recommendation. Well, I mean, auto recommendation, sometimes it's okay, but you know, don't be so reliant on those. You got to know what's going on. So that's it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Santosh, thank you for joining. I definitely want to talk to you again. Thank you everybody for joining.
Thanks, Yusuf. I would love to come back.